595 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law Triple Threat. It's finally back in the house together in the studio. It does actually look like a studio. Jay's got a board in here and a little laptop, and like they've actually been doing work for once in here. Well, I don't know what's up with that, but it's good to see Jay working with me, Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. And what I want to do with this show tonight is not actually talk about the law and divorces and child support and things of the nature that we've talked about for over a year on Understanding the Law. Melvin, what I want to talk is about you running for Circuit Court Judge of Cullman. And there's a lot of things that I want to ask you, a lot of things that I want you to tell the citizens of Cullman of where you stand and go from there. And because I think the primary is going to be June 5th between you and Martha Williams. So I just want to dive into this, and I encourage people to call because this is very important. It's every election is important to me, and it should be to you. I don't care what office that you're voting for. Every office should be important to you. I know we listen to people complain and gripe about politics and how it goes and how we all disagree with what we see in the government, but it's your vote that makes the difference. And I think in every political position that you see, there's a lot of people. I know even in the higher government, you know, the House of Representatives and so on, where these people are in there, Melvin, and they may be in there 20, 30 years, and you never get no fresh faces in there. So basically, I mean, they're always riding that train, and nobody's going to vote them out. And that's what's wrong with America. We're tired of this. And here, even here in Cullman, the citizens of Cullman, you're the difference maker of who you put in office. So you need to be aware of each person running and what their stand is. And if they've been in an office for 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, whatever, you need to know what they've actually done while they've been in office. So don't just go up there and vote for somebody just because they've been in office and you don't know anything that they've done. You know, I try to look at everything that they've done.
Yes, you know, the election is 6 weeks from today. It's kind of come down real fast. I mean, when it's 2 or 3 months away, and then I thought, well, we're going to get to that 6 week mark, and then it's really time to start the push, and here we are. But yeah, you said something very important, and it is every single office that's up for election has its own importance, it has its own duties, and people do need to know, need to pay attention. I always laugh and kid kind of cut up with people and say that the everybody cares about their probate judge and everybody cares about the sheriff, and really they do. When you have a probate judge race or you have a sheriff race, it's a big deal. Everybody gets involved in them. And usually it's the, you know, the county commissioners, people kind of get involved in it, but most of the time it's, you know, they get mad because of the road situation or maybe the county commission did this or did that. So sometimes they get involved and they, you know, get really heated up in those races. Your circuit clerk's race, your judge's race, even the coroner race, every single one of them is important. Every one of them has their own duty, their own job. Every one of them's paid. Nobody's being volunteered. So you're paying these people to do a job. So, yes, you need to know. It's really like an interview. You know what I'm saying? What have you done? Where have you been? Where are you going? How can you make this better? Because if you go get a job anywhere, you're going to have to answer those questions.
Exactly.
So I love for people to ask me questions. I want them to know what is different. Why should we elect you? Why should we not vote for the other person? And I try to be honest about the stuff. I'm being as positive as I can, but I feel like it is my duty sometimes as a reason, because people want to know, Melvin, you're not the incumbent, you're not the judge. We think maybe we don't really know what's going on in our court system as much. Why should we vote you in? What can you do different? You know,
exactly.
What do you know about it? So I will use certain things that I think are very important, that I know that I've heard from the citizens that they think is important, and I'll bring it out, and we'll kind of have a lesson about it and how that applies. And I've learned when I've done that, people think, man, I didn't know that kind of stuff happened.
Exactly.
I didn't know that was going on. And you just realize how important the position is. Every single position is important. The clerk's
exactly.
office is important. Like I said, the circuit clerk, Lisa McSwain's the circuit clerk right now. She has no opposition. There's nobody running on the Republican ticket. Nobody's running on Democrat ticket. It's probably the first time in forever. Everybody always ran to be a circuit clerk. But Lisa, she will more than likely, she's going to be our circuit clerk again. So the circuit clerk's office, it is a very important office. They handle getting jurors in for cases. They handle the money that comes in. They make sure that your court cases are set, that it's get assigned to the right judges. When restitution is paid in, they get it out to the victims and stuff like that. They do the absentee ballots. They do passports. So your circuit clerk's important, you know, and district court, they have their own, whatever they do. The revenue commissioner has his own job or her own job doing what they do. Your district judges, circuit judges do. Your commissioners, commissioners control your money. They control what happens in Coleman and how everything's run, whether it's the garbage, the water, your road system. They're over the courthouse. They run your money through. So you need to know, who are your commissioners? What do they stand for? Like you said, what have you done? And everybody kind of be accountable, because when you're accountable for what you do, you're most time, if you realize that, hey, I'm accountable for what I do, I'm going to make sure that I do pretty well everything straight line. When you can hide behind things and do things, you're going to get in trouble. And that's where, I think that's where everybody's getting sick with politics, because you are, they get elected, they stay in there for a long time. You kind of don't, as citizens, and maybe it's our fault, we don't stay as informed as we do. Maybe they hide stuff. There's a lot of backroom deals and things that happens. And we all get fussed. We all fuss about it, you know.
Exactly.
And then, unfortunately, we elect the same people back in there sometimes.
So one of the things that I don't like personally when I see this whole political thing coming out is for people, I don't know, maybe people that's already been in office. I'm just going to throw that out. You know, they're going to throw an ad out there in the local newspaper, on the radio. I'm an honest, fair person. Well, that doesn't tell me nothing.
Yes.
That's not telling me exactly what you've done while you've been in office. Why don't you do a bullet point of the good things that you've done and show us what you've done? Tell us what you've
yes.
done. Don't just say I'm honest and fair. I don't want to hear that.
Well,
that's
lot,
just me.
Well, and that happens in a lot of races, whether it's the commissioner's race or the circuit clerk's race or judge's race or whatever else. And what I told a group of people last night at the Beat 8 over in Arkadelphia, that community meeting we had, is that really fairness is relative. And a lot of this stuff, if you got a county commission that's making a decision on maybe a road getting paved or whatever else, the ones that wants it paved, and the county commission says, yeah, we're going to pave it, they think, well, they've been very fair to me. But this other road that needed to be paved that doesn't get paved,
right.
they say, that's not fair.
Right.
So it's relative. You know, who wins?
Right.
Okay, if you're in a court case, and if I'm in a divorce case and the judge rules in my favor, I'm going to say, that's a good, fair judge. Well, the other side's going to say, he ain't fair to me, or
exactly.
she's not fair to me. So it's relative. You're right. It doesn't say anything when you're saying I'm going to be fair. You have to prove it. You have to get out there and like you said, and show and be fair, be consistent with how you rule. The honesty thing, everybody, I think if you ask anybody around, anybody, no matter who they are, you could probably ask a
thieves and burglars, if they're honest people, and they're going to tell you they're honest people.
They will. They will.
Most of them
are always innocent.
Yeah, most of them's not going to admit that, hey, I'm a liar. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm not honest or whatever else. But it's your actions. You know, what have you done to be honest? What have you done to be dishonest? You know, and it may be that the things that you've done that you think is honest is really not that honest.
Right.
So
throughout this interview, I encourage anyone that wants to call in and ask Melvin a question, ask him. 256-737-9505 is the call-in line. And so I encourage you, because you need to know what Melvin's stand is and what he plans to do if and when he wins this office. So 256-737-9505. Melvin, I'm just going to go with some basic questions right now. Because there may be a lot of listeners that have never dealt with the court system or hired an attorney. They don't know you personally, and I want them to know that. So if you will, just go ahead and tell me about yourself, tell me about your family, and tell me some of the things that you've done in the community with your involvement.
Well, we had just had a interview done by the Cullman Times and talk about me and Williams for this circuit judge position, asking us the same basic questions. One of the things asked us about age and different things about our family. Well, I'm 47. I was born in 1971 here in Cullman County. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Shay Baker. She's from Garden City. We've raised three boys. Landon's 19. He's down at UAB. Have a 14-year-old Spencer and a 9-year-old Brody. You know, we live here in Vineland. I've always lived here. We go to church down at Hansville, down at Fairview West Baptist Church there. As far as community involvement, probably one of the main things that I've been involved in with our community here in Vineland, and it's what I love, is all of my boys have played baseball, basketball, and football. So I've had opportunities over the last 14 years to coach baseball, all different grades, up through like 12, 13-year-olds. I've had opportunities to coach them in football. Spencer, 2 or 3 years in football. I've had opportunities this past year to finally coach in basketball, coach my youngest son, Brody, in basketball. And then if I'm not coaching, a lot of times I'm helping out. So that gives me an opportunity to interact with kids, with families, try to be a good example and help them to be, tell them how important it is to be good examples, be good sportsmanship. And it's fun. You know, I love sports,
right.
And that's my way of I can't participate in sports. I tried a couple of times playing football in this 30 and over stuff, but, you know, I'm getting too old to play a lot of these sports, so that's a way I can stay involved in sports,
right.
Is get out there and working with these kids, and it's been enjoyable. I've had a good time.
That's good. So everyone knows your name in Colton. I mean, let's just go ahead and say that. Everyone knows the name Melvin Haston. When everyone talks about you, everyone knows your law practice. I know that there is a lot of law practices here in Cullman, but to me, and what I've even been told by others that I associate with here in Cullman, you are probably the most well-known attorney here in Cullman, and the things that you've done for the people, the way that you've helped people, is tremendous. And I think that's very honorable of you and how you do your law practice. So why don't you just tell me and tell the listeners, how long have you had your practice? And just kind of tell me about your law practice.
I have. I've been doing this for 16 years. I earn a living. I'm not a millionaire. I'm nowhere near a millionaire. In 16 years, if you make close to $100,000 a year, I probably made $1 million
right.
Then. I don't know. I really don't know how much. That's not important, but it's a good paying job. I've had good opportunities. I've been blessed. God's been blessing me, definitely blessing me, with having an opportunity to make some money, make a good living with this. But it's something that I've really got passionate about. It's bigger than making money. It is. It's really helping out a lot of people. I try to I take pride in helping out. People come to me and say, Melvin, I can't afford to do this, whatever else, and I will work with them on payments. Probably 90% of my practice is people coming in paying me $20 or $25 a week, $100
right.
a week, or whatever else, to help them through their situations. And no matter if I get that or I get somebody that pays me $10,000 at one time, I still treat them the same, and get their get what they need done. And so I have my practice is not on one particular thing. I have a wide variety of stuff I handle. The only thing I did a few bankruptcy cases a few years ago. I've never done a real estate closing because I've never just really been involved in real estate that much. But otherwise, anything else that can be handled, I've done it. I've tried numerous jury trials. I've tried numerous cases in front of judges, whether it's in circuit court. We talk about landline disputes. We talk about workers' comp cases. We talk about contract actions, divorce cases, custody cases. I've done all of them, done tons of them. You know, and then we get into the jury issues where there's car wrecks, medical malpractice cases, issues of other negligence, maybe slips and falls or some kind of a negligence action there. We talk about criminal jury trials. I've tried capital murder cases. I represent people now charged with capital murder. I think I've tried every single kind, because I always used to say I never tried a kidnapping case, but one of my capital murder cases did involve kidnapping. So robberies, kidnappings, burglaries, breaking in vehicles, all them, the heinous crimes. I've even tried cases all the way down as simple as harassing communications, which are misdemeanors, and traffic tickets and stuff. I think I may even try a speeding ticket one time, seemed like I did. But so I've had a vast practice. I've had a lot of I've been all over the state trying all kinds of cases. I see how different courts handle things. I mean, it's fun. I love it. I love my job. I love what I do.
And I can tell that you have passion in what you do.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
You know, and I will, as you said, I have stepped out a few times. I was on my own money, but I felt, you know what, it had to be done. I take some of this stuff very seriously. And I tell you, I gained a lot of notoriety. I had people sending me money from out of the state when I had filed a lawsuit against Judge. There was a Judge Bentley in Winston County, but against the Governor Bentley on the Confederate flag stuff and not removing that that monument down there. I mean, it got to be a big deal. It was trending on Facebook, and people from all over was calling me. They had sent me money, and still, even to this day, I think 2 weeks ago, one of the news stations in Birmingham was calling me because it was doing a story on the memorial stuff. Anytime anything comes up about the Confederate memorial stuff, they call me. Asked about it, so I feel good about that because I felt like that's something that I did. That whether you agree with it or not, or whatever opinions have, that you know, I had a purpose for that. I wanted to say, hey, look, if you're a governor, you shouldn't have that much. You don't have that much control. And that's really what we filed the lawsuit said. You can't make those decisions. We have historical commissions. We have other agencies that make that decisions. Not a governor. And I'm not saying I was the reason for the law, but after that lawsuit, we had the Preservation Act passed. The legislature finally acted and said, "Hey, here's what we're going to do about this stuff." So I take pride in that.
Exactly.
You know, I've been involved in issues with poor people, and thrown in jail, cash bonds and stuff. We brought that out. There's been issues with in our own circuit about with the contract cases and again poor persons being represented by attorneys, had that issue resolved. So I've stepped out a few times and did what I thought was right, and I think as a whole we were benefited from it.
Exactly. So let me go into this, and I'm going to knock on wood, okay, because in my 52 years of life I've never been arrested, okay, I've never been to court. So for me to sit here and say that I completely understand the court system, it's just not. I don't, and I know that there's a lot of people that keep you in business and they know all of it. But you know, us regular folk out here in Coleman that goes to work every day, we don't really know what happens. So why don't you describe to me the duties of the circuit judge? And I know that it's different than the probate judge, and I know a little bit about probate, but why don't you tell me the duties of the circuit judge and how it differs from the probate judge.
Well, your circuit court is defined in the Alabama Code as a court of general jurisdiction. And what that means is they essentially handle everything. The exceptions is when the cases are delegated specifically to other courts. So, for instance, district courts any juvenile cases, juvenile delinquency cases, juvenile dependency cases like DHR cases, anything dealing with juveniles is exclusively been set aside for to be handled by a district court. A circuit judge does not handle those cases. So if DHR came and there's trying to gain custody kids or whatever else in a dependency case, if they file that case in the, with the circuit clerk's office and try to get it in front of a circuit judge that knew what they was doing would say, that is not my area. I can't rule on that. That has to go down to district court. Misdemeanors always are in the district court. You never file them in circuit court. Now then, if you go through district court and if you're convicted of a misdemeanor crime, then you can appeal it to circuit court. And the only purpose of doing that is so you get a jury trial, because in district court, they don't have jury trials. You have it only in circuit court. So that's probably the two of the major, and small claims. Small claims are not handled in circuit court. You handle them in district court, but if the party that doesn't like the ruling in district court doesn't like it, then you can appeal it up to a circuit court. So that's the difference in circuit and district court judges. Circuit court judges and district court judges in Alabama have to have a law license. You have to be a lawyer. In probate court, it is totally different. You do not have to be an attorney. There's a couple of counties you have to be. But your probate court handles your adoptions. They handle the condemnations, any wills, estate cases. They handle their own. So each court handles its own separate set of cases.
Excellent. Well, I have lots more questions when we come back from break to ask you and let you inform everybody. Give us a call, 256-737-9505, if you have a question that you would like to ask Melvin. We'll be back in just a moment.
Of Coleman is turning 9 years old this weekend, and Live 95 will be on site on Saturday to help them celebrate. Guthrie's will be offering their famous Golden Fried Chicken Box at a significant discount Saturday and Sunday between 10:30 a.m. and 9 o'clock p.m. Make sure you get you some chicken and come by and say hi to the Live 95 crew and make a request. Hey, we'll be on site eating some of that chicken ourselves on Saturday between 2 and 4. We'll see you there at Guthrie's of Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Cullman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Cullman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Cullman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Cullman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Cullman County VOAD, call the Cullman County EMA at 739-5410, 739-5410. Email CullmanCountyVOAD@gmail.com or search Cullman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Cullman County VOAD is Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster.
I'm Ed Horrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution. Today we want to say thank you to the over 62 million in the U.S. who volunteer their time for various organizations. That's a staggering number, 62 million. But according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, that number is actually on the decline, possibly as much as 4% lower than a few years ago. So our challenge this week is simple. Do two things. First of all, if you know of someone who's volunteering their time for a good cause, tell them thank you. Whether it's a soup kitchen, coaching an athletic team, or singing in the choir, why not take a minute and say thanks? But just as importantly, why not take a look and see what each of us can do to volunteer a little time to help a good cause? Causes doing good and in need of volunteers are everywhere, so they won't be hard to find. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, in continuing in our mission to be all about Coleman, as stated in our broadcast license to the FCC when we launched back in 2014, brings you the Coleman Area Chamber of Commerce's 2018 Chick-fil-A State of Our Communities event, and it's going to be broadcast right here on Live 95.5. This Friday, you can tune in to Live 95 to hear the state of education right here in Coleman County. That kicks off at 8 a.m. We'll be hearing statements provided by both the city and the county superintendents and a representative from Wallace State College. Then, at 10 o'clock, our focus will be changing to the state of healthcare, featuring Coleman Regional's Charna Brown, Wellstone Behavioral Health's Chris Van Dyke, and Coleman County Sheriff Matt Gentry. At 11:30, we'll turn the focus to the state of local government, spotlighted by updates from Coleman County Commission Chairman Kenneth Walker and Mayors Woody Jacobs, Kenneth Nail, and Jerry Bartlett from the cities of Coleman, Hanceville, and Good Hope. After lunch, at 1:30, we'll close the day with a question-and-answer-style legislative forum featuring existing legislators and local candidates for state Senate and state House seats. This event is coming to you live from the Coleman Civic Center and is completely free for the public to attend. You can stop by for a chance to win some great giveaways, including a couple of televisions from area utilities, human services, and tourism experts that will be on hand all day. If you have any questions or comments about the event, you can contact the Coleman Area Chamber of Commerce at area code 256-734-0454, or you can send them an email at info@colemanchamber.org. Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is pleased to be presenting this event to you starting at 8 o'clock a.m. on Friday morning. It is the Coleman Area Chamber of Commerce's 2018 Chick-fil-A State of Our Communities event, broadcast right here on Coleman's Independent Radio, Live 95.5 FM.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. I'm doing a basically an interview here with Melvin and asking questions, dealing with him running for circuit judge. Melvin, I seen there was an interview published in the Coleman Times this past weekend mentioning bonds and a lawsuit that you had filed. So can you tell us about the bail bonds and persons charged with crimes?
Yeah, one of the questions that was asked by the Coleman Times staff was, what's your position on bail bonds? You know, what's the importance of it? How do you more or less, how do you determine who gets bond, who don't, or whatever else? So the purpose of, so when someone is charged criminally, of course they get arrested. So in the United States, we have a presumption of innocence, which is a very important constitutional right we have. So everyone, it's pretty well presumed, everyone is presumed innocent. So those people are entitled to have a trial, and they don't, our forefathers have said, hey, we're not going to do like they used to do in England and whatever else, throw people in jail, make them sit there in dungeons and wait until they have their trial date. They will have an opportunity to post a bond, and part of posting bond is saying, all right, someone comes in and signs for you, either puts up their property, they put up cash money if they want to, or you can get, now bonding has become, of course, you got bonding companies, become a commercial business. Well, somebody comes in there, signs your bond, and says, hey, if you let this person out of jail
they will appear for hearings and trial. Excuse me. So that is the idea. That's how bail bonds got started. So the question is, how much, who gets them, and who does it? Well, our Constitution says in Alabama and the United States, it essentially says the same. It kind of it doesn't mention, I don't know if it actually mentions it in the Constitution, but the Supreme Court has ruled. But in Alabama, it says everyone's entitled to bail except for those charged with capital murder offenses. And Alabama goes a step further where the presumption is great. So what that means is, if someone is charged with capital murder, which means that you it's aggravated murder, so you either commit murder while you're burglarizing some home or robbing someone, or you commit murder while you kidnap or rape or something like that. So it's usually another crime involved, or you murder two or more people, or you murder a kid, someone under age of 12. I think it's automatically capital murder. Or if you murder a police officer, any public official, or whatever else, there are certain offenses that are listed as capital offenses. So if you're charged with that in Alabama, you're not entitled to bond automatically like everyone else is. So if someone charged with capital murder gets a bond, it should be after a hearing where the state puts on evidence of why you're charging this person with capital murder. And if their evidence is not, are they guilty or not guilty? If there's enough evidence to suggest, hey, this person, we have a legitimate reason to believe this person is guilty or that they was involved in this crime, it's a capital offense because it meets these circumstances, then they don't get bond normally. Now, some courts do. Believe it or not, there are some courts. I mean, I've heard them. I've actually seen Jefferson County courts have people charged with capital murder and have them set on a $100,000, $200,000 bond and released. It's dumbfounding, but that's it. But the what goes into how you set bail bonds is, as you can see, is really the charge. The more serious the charge, the more the bonds are, because if I'm looking, and the reason capital murder is no bonded is because if you're convicted of it, you can get the death penalty. And if you're convicted of it, if you don't get the death penalty, then you're going to die in prison. You will never be a free person again. So those persons are more than likely to do what? Take off. Right. So that's why once they get them in there, and there's enough evidence to charge them with capital murder, those people stay in jail. Exactly. Because they have all the reason in the world to take off.
Yep, exactly. So let me ask you this real quick. Is this going to involve a person or two that may be an accessory to murder?
Yes, you
so
can
that's
be.
Also, they're going to get the same charge?
Yes, you sure can. So me and you go out tonight and you're like, man, we need some beer money, Melvin. And I said, well, pull me over here and I'll rob this guy and get some money. You know, and you do it. I run in there and shoot the guy and kill him, get his money and leave. And you leave with me. Yes, mm-hmm. You can be charged with capital murder, okay. Even though you had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Other than you were there with me and you aided and abetted me and, right. And get either in the commission of the crime or taken away and fleeing from the crime.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I tell a lot of people that I represent, a lot of these defendants, and I say, what are you going to do? Because, you know, there's a lot of burglars in Coleman. There's a lot of burglars everywhere. But, you know, some of these people, and if I figure out that they did or they tell me that they did, I'm like, what are you going to do when you're in somebody's house or on somebody's property stealing their stuff and you're surprised because they're there, you know, and you're going to be put in a situation. I said, because, and I've told people this, if you're at my house and I was to pull up or you come walk through my house, didn't think I was there and I was there, I said, you're going to get shot. There's going to be a gun pulled on you and I'm going to be ready to shoot you. I said, then you've got to make a decision yourself. And I said, if you make that decision to shoot me and kill me during a burglary, then you're going to get the death penalty. You know, and I mean, I tell them, I said, look, I know I sound like your daddy, but this is just how serious these crimes are. And doing that stuff. So, you know, if you're with somebody and they running in there and they're robbing a store, man, that's serious business.
It is.
You know, if you ain't going to stop them, your best bet is to get that car in reverse and get the heck out of there.
Exactly.
Because if you help them, you're sitting in jail, no bond. And maybe you could be totally innocent, not know what they was going to do.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you've seen this, and you're driving the getaway car. You know, and if someone is unfortunate enough to get in that position, well, you're driving the getaway car. Once you drop that person off, your next stop is the police department. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If you go home,
exactly.
If you go home and try to hide it, you're in trouble.
Right.
If you go to the sheriff and say, look, I drove over there. I didn't know what this idiot was going to do. He robbed this store. I dropped him off there. You take a good chance of not even getting charged. But if you get charged, you may be charged with an accessory and be able to have a reason to get a lower bond. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And be able to bond out and tell your story rather than sit in jail and wait for your trial.
Exactly.
So the seriousness of the crimes, but you know, bail bond's also something that when a judge or a magistrate is taking consideration, bail bonds is the safety of the community. You know, is it safe to turn this person out back out in the community? If it's not safe, then okay. If you're saying, hey, this person is really not a danger, they got caught with pot. Okay, you set them $1,000 bail bond, but hey, this guy just killed somebody. It was premeditated or whatever else. We don't want to set them out on $1,000 bond. You don't set them out on $10,000 bond. You know what? The Constitution says you're entitled to bail. We have a bail bond schedule in Alabama that's been adopted by the Supreme Court. You don't have to follow that. You know, if you set a $500,000 bond, you set a $500,000 bond. You're saying, look, I'm giving you an opportunity to get out if you can make that type of bond, because I guarantee you, if somebody's going to post a $500,000 bond, they're going to know where that person is.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to keep up and make sure that person comes to court. So that, you know, that's the seriousness of the crime. But see, it may be that the reason we're having to post those, that you're having to set those bail bond amounts, is that you're protecting the community from this person. Hey, if somebody comes from Arkansas and robs a store and kills somebody, or just comes in and robs a store, we're going to turn them out on a $10,000 bond. What are they going to do? They're going to go back to Arkansas. Yep. We're going to have to go find this cat somewhere.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of things to take consideration when you're setting bonds.
Exactly. So what about this lawsuit that was filed?
All right. In that article, and it's been mentioned, it has been mentioned in a prior forum, my opponent had said that I had sued the judges and Sheriff Gentry. I had sued all the judges named out as individual judges here in Coleman and Sheriff Gentry in this lawsuit requesting lowered bonds. That is not correct. That is not the truth. I filed a lawsuit. It was last year, I think, when we started this. It may have been it was in 2017. And what my issue was, because we have taken this to the Supreme Court of Alabama and the Court of Criminal Appeals, and they've never really gave a straight up answer other than saying cash bail is allowed because it's listed in the law. The legislature has allowed cash bail as a form of bail. My issue before I took it to the federal courts was, can you legally put cash bond on someone that's been declared indigent or a poor person that can't afford to hire a lawyer? So I've got someone that's charged with forgery. We'll just throw it out there. Forgery, writing a bad check or forging somebody's name on a check. So you set them a $2,500 cash bond. So somebody's got $2,500, they pay the money and they walk out of jail. Somebody that don't have $2,500, they sit in jail. And then they sit in jail, and then they sit in jail, and they sit in jail. Well, a lot of people says, well, they shouldn't have wrote the check. And you're right, they shouldn't have wrote the check. But is that due process? Is that equal protection? Are we treating these two people the same? Because that's the whole deal behind the blind scales of justice. No matter what your, you know, that's the judge got his eyes covered. No matter what your status in life is, no matter what your race, your gender, your color, nationality, none of that should matter when you're standing in front of the court. Everybody should be equal. Well, that example I just gave you, they're not equal, because this person that has money bonds out while the person that doesn't have money sits in jail. So I took it to federal court, said we want this looked into, but the bigger issue that I had filed the lawsuit on was we have these things where we call them like restitution and cost recovery dockets that happens in Coleman County last 5 years maybe, And what I had noticed, and I had clients that was coming in, and there were there and there they was they were saying, "Hey man, I was in jail. I stayed in jail for a week or however long they stayed in jail. I had a cash bond. I couldn't make it, and it was all on these back court costs that was due." So I got to looking at these dockets, and you know there were people that there were cases on there that were 20 years old. And some of them was horrendous type crimes. These people went to prison, served their time, have done their probation, and they've been done. I remember some of the cases I quoted in there. I gave examples, probably 20 examples in my lawsuit. There were cases that's been out of the courts for 15 years. And what happened is maybe there's $1,500 or $2,000 or $2,200.12 that was owed in court costs and restitution. And they were getting sent notice to come to court because they hadn't paid this money. And as I got to looking deeper into the cases, these people didn't come to court, and then they had a bond. So that $2,212 case I just gave an example of, guess what their cash bond was? $2,200.12. Maybe that's a coincidence, but that was what their cash bond amount was. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's look at this. This person didn't come to court. Number one, that was 20 years ago. Do they even have the same address? How do we know that these people are getting these notices? Number one. Number two is, does the court even have jurisdiction to do this? Because this person is no longer under supervision of the court. They're not on probation. They have served their sentence. Yes, they may owe their court costs and fines, but can you throw them in jail without giving them a hearing and setting them on these cash bonds? Because remember the purpose of bonds is to do what? Appear before court, come to trial. You can't set them on cash bonds. My argument was, you make and hold them in contempt after a hearing, because there's plenty of case laws, federal case laws, in the United States Supreme Court cases that says you got to give them a hearing first, see if they have the ability to pay. Why have they not paid? And that was the gist of my lawsuit. And that lawsuit, what had happened is Tommy Drake had filed another lawsuit on behalf of these bonds being set $1.5 million on drug traffickers or whatever, different types of cases. So that federal judge says, hey, there's two issues in Coleman dealing with bonds. We're going to put these together. Now, when I filed my lawsuit, I filed on behalf of an inmate that was in the Coleman County Jail. When you file these lawsuits, you have to name the custodian of the person in jail. I mean, the custodian of the jail, which is Sheriff Gentry. So, yes, I had to name Sheriff Gentry in there, but I also named the Administrative Office of Courts, the Office of Prosecution Services, which are the offices in Montgomery that was help running these dockets, throwing these people in jail to collect their money from them. So that's who I named in my lawsuit. When Tommy had his lawsuit filed about the bonds, he has to name the clerk. He has to name the judges that are setting these bonds. And so he named them, and all of these cases got consolidated, and it was heard. And then we've actually had other cases that got involved, other agencies that got involved in this. And there, I mean, the federal judge has made a ruling, or she's fixing to make a ruling on this case very soon. So I wasn't advocating for lowering bonds, although I think we got to pay attention what kind of bonds we're setting and whose bonds we're reducing and whose bonds we're increasing and who we're giving bonds to. I mean, all of that's important, but my goal was to say, hey, are we doing what's right, throwing people in jail on cash bonds for not paying court costs and fines? You know, without, first of all, finding out why they didn't do it.
Right. So. And it being 20 years earlier.
And it be, oh, the case. I mean, I went through one docket that I named about 15 cases where these people was at least 6 or 7 years that completely done their probation and everything else. So I'm thinking, man, there's something wrong. Something smells incredible with this. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have a lot more questions. I know I'm not going to get all the questions that I want to ask you.
Just ask me the softball questions now.
Yeah, I'll ask you something easy now. So, but you know, I do want to remind everybody that this coming Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we're going to be located next to the courthouse, and we're going to have a little Melvin Haston rally. So you make sure that you come. We're going to feed you. We're going to let you get face-to-face with Melvin and ask him any question that you want. We'll be back in just a moment.
And dance to music by Cosmic Sound.
Thank you.
Got
Stories of Coleman is turning 9 years old this weekend, and Live 95 will be on site on Saturday to help them celebrate. Guthrie's will be offering their famous golden fried chicken box at a significant discount Saturday and Sunday between 10:30 a.m. and 9 o'clock p.m. Make sure you get you some chicken and come by and say hi to the Live 95 crew and make a request. Hey, we'll be on site eating some of that chicken ourselves on Saturday between 2 and 4. We'll see you there at Guthrie's of Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Coleman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Coleman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Coleman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Coleman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Coleman County VOAD, call the Coleman County EMA at 739-5410. 739-5410. Email ColemanCountyVOAD at gmail.com or search Coleman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Coleman County VOAD is Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster.
I'm Ed Horrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution. Today we want to say thank you to the over 62 million in the U.S. who volunteer their time for various organizations. That's a staggering number, 62 million. But according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, that number is actually on the decline, possibly as much as 4% lower than a few years ago. So our challenge this week is simple. Do two things. First of all, if you know of someone who's volunteering their time for a good cause, tell them thank you. Whether it's a soup kitchen, coaching an athletic team, or singing in the choir, why not take a minute and say thanks? But just as importantly, why not take a look and see what each of us can do to volunteer a little time to help a good cause? Causes doing good and in need of volunteers are everywhere, so they won't be hard to find. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Because Melvin and I always have sometimes the same opinion, which is never the opinion of Jay Fuller, that's a fact. So, Jay Fuller, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask a question if you have one.
And repeat what I asked during the break?
Yes.
You know, that was the most acknowledgement that I've received from any friend or family member in a while. It's like, you asked a smart question. You should ask that again. All right, so Melvin, here's my question for you. Drum roll, please. So why would anyone in their right mind run for sheriff or be a judge if you have to be named in a lawsuit, like any lawsuit, basically? I mean, who pays for that?
Let
me turn your mic on for you.
That would be good. Okay, I answered it while you had it off, so that's it. No, I'm just kidding.
Missed it.
Why would anybody run? I guess that is it. I'll leave that out. But I tell you what is required.
Well, obviously you'd run because you want to serve the public and
exactly.
You know, do those types of things. But I mean, the risk involved, if you know you have to be named, and you explained it to me there during a break. I'm not going to take all your fire, but it's basically the law that you have to name somebody in a lawsuit
in that
environment. So go ahead.
Yes. So if you have let's talk about a habeas corpus proceeding. What that means is that you're challenging jurisdiction of why this person's being held in jail. All right, so you have to name the custodian of that person. So if he's in Coleman County Jail, you'd name Sheriff Matt Gentry. If he's in the Coleman City Jail, you would name Chief Kenny Culpepper. If he's a state inmate in a prison system, you'd name the commissioner for the Department of Corrections. And you, normally I just go ahead and I name the warden of the prison that they're in. So you have to have a defendant. The defendant can't be just the state of Alabama, because the state of Alabama, by which amendment is it? Maybe the 11th Amendment or whatever else says that a state can't be sued. So if you file something against the state of Alabama, they will file a motion to dismiss it, saying we're a state agency by the 11th Amendment. We can't be sued, so therefore your case is dismissed. So you have to name them. Now, who pays for it? They are bonded. They have some kind of insurance that's required. Who pays that premium? Is it the sheriff? I don't know. Is it the county commission, or is it money that's come through the office? How is it supplied? I don't know. Sometimes, I know this, when I've had to name Sheriff Gentry or Mike Rainey before him or Tyler Roden before him, the county attorney sometimes represented them. But sometimes, like in this federal court system, he has his own attorney group that handles that. So I don't know if it goes to the county commission or whatever else. Now, as far as judges, it's the same thing. If you file we call it a writ of mandamus. I'll go back to, an extreme example. So let's say that someone filed a divorce case in probate court, and our probate judge, now being Tammy Brown, decides, hey, I'm going to divorce these people. Well, if I represented one of the parties, I would say, whoa, wait a minute, Judge, you can't do that. She says, no, I'm going to. So I'd have to file what's called a writ of mandamus with the Court of Civil Appeals and say, Court of Civil Appeals, enter an order telling her that she's doing wrong. So I would have to name her in that case. So, and that goes with district court. I filed mandamus petitions against the district court judges, not only in Coleman, but statewide. I've done them in other cases. And we also do it in circuit court. Sometimes that there's orders entered or there's things that are entered, and you have to name the judge. You can't name just the circuit court. You have to name the judge. So sometimes the judges, some of these mandamus cases that I filed over 16 years are precursors to some major Alabama law now. I mean, some issues about custody. Whenever I did a case, I filed one against, her name was Judge Paler. She was Judge Brown, Judge Paler up there in Morgan County. She issued a temporary custody order taking custody away from my lady, giving it to the father. No hearing, said we'll have a hearing in 6 weeks or whatever else. And these people already had been divorced. So I filed a case on it and against her as a mandamus, naming her personally. She had an opportunity, she filed a brief. The Administrative Office of Courts, which oversees the court systems in Alabama, filed a brief in it. Seemed like somebody else filed it. Well, the other side filed a brief in it, but the Court of Civil Appeals come back and says, you know what? What was brought out in this case by the petitioner, which I represent the petitioner, is valid. You know, and we're going to have to go back and look and see how we're doing this. So now the law is, if custody's been decided, and if a judge, if there's an emergency circumstance where a judge takes custody from another parent, they're going to have to give that person a hearing within 3 or 4 days, not 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road. So that is new law. That is a case where I filed a mandamus against a circuit judge.
You keep talking all this Latin. So when you got a degree in law, was Latin like a required course?
No,
y'all keep all that.
No, it is not. But now, it ought to be because there's a lot of terms we use that are Latin, and these guys back in Thomas Jefferson days, and even before that, the law before then, they were really intelligent guys because they used the Latin. They used the Latin terms, quid pro quo, and all this other stuff comes from some of those terms. So. Hope that answered your question, but that's part of your job, Jay. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was how that works.
Yeah, because if you don't name them, who do you name? You know what I'm saying? Hey, if Daryl's getting charged with murder, that he murdered somebody at what 6:30 to die, and then I'm representing him, I'm like, you know what? You can't. Y'all gonna have to have some evidence because I sit there in front of Daryl at the radio station. He didn't murder nobody in front of me. How are you got him charged? So if I want to challenge him being held in jail because of that, I'd have to name the person that's holding him, which is the sheriff or the city.
Makes sense to me.
It makes sense once it's explained. But yeah, we do name them. But like in that particular case about that article, I didn't sue the judges to have the lower right. bonds. My purpose of my lawsuit, which I have sued them to have lower bonds on some people, but my purpose of my lawsuit was, hey, let's look at these cash bonds and is it fair to put cash bonds on people that you know can't pay it? You know, we had a hearing testimony where it was testified that, you know, the purpose of one of the guys that I had represented, the purpose was to keep him in jail.
Right.
You know, so, which is against the whole purpose of having a bond.
So hearing everything that you had to say, what was said about you is definitely not true.
In that particular case about lowering their bond that was referred to, I did not sue all the judges. Absolutely did not.
I'm glad we got
that. Now they were brought into my lawsuit, but I didn't do it.
Right.
But now, hey, if it was necessary for me to do it, I would have. And actually, the federal court judge, when we had one of our hearings, was wanting me to, but since it was already brought into my case, I didn't have to.
Got you.
Yes.
I swear this could be a 2-hour show tonight.
I've
got so many questions. So let me ask you this. Is there any chance that I could bring you in on the Big D Radio Show here in another week or two and let me talk to you basically the whole show? Because I feel that I need to get more out of you to tell the citizens of Coleman. Because we're not going to do it in this 1 hour. We're not going to do it 1 hour next week. But I'd like to bring you on the Big D Radio Show and let you, because we have a vast amount of listeners and the Facebook feed is just unbelievable.
Yes.
So if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I will. I have some obligations I need to look at because running a campaign is tough. You're away from your family. You kind of set everything on the back burner because if you're serious about what you're running for, which I am very serious about what I'm running for, you have to put forth the time in there. You have to go see people. There are certain events they expect you at, and if you're not at those events or at those places, they'll use it against you. You know,
exactly.
I'm not talking about your opponents, but I'm talking about, you know, they. For instance, I go to these community watches, I go to these community centers, I go to these senior centers. If I don't go to them, they're going to be like, well, he must not want my vote. He doesn't think I'm important. He don't have time for me. I don't have time for him. Yeah. So
got to go find some babies to kill.
So, yes, exactly. And it's hard to find babies at senior centers. That's what I've learned. So I'm going to have to go to daycare centers. No, but listen, it is tough. It is tough getting out. And so – and then what I've learned is when you get out to some of these senior centers, they really, I'm sure they roll their eyes thinking, well, it must be election time. Here comes all these politicians.
Because
they always say, what are you running for and everything? But once you get in a relationship with these people, they love it. They appreciate it. They realize how important that they are and that their vote is. Because if you go to because it is impossible to go to every single house in Coleman. There's no way.
You're
not going to do it. You know, and you're not going to catch them there. But these senior centers, if you can get to them.
What time is it?
They
It's 7 o'clock.
No way. I had more questions, Jay.
Yes. So these senior centers, you know, if you get grandma and grandpa, they probably got kids and grandkids and whatever else. They got friends. They got people they go to church with, and they can talk and say, hey, this is what I'm at. So to answer your question is, yes, I'll be more than happy. I'm going to look at my schedule, and we're going to, yes, because I got things I need to say and that I want to say.
And real quick, Melvin Haston does wash dishes, okay?
Yes.
And evidence. And by the way, if I was in your position and I won judgeship, you know what? I personally would go back down to that senior center and spend time with them. That's just me.
To show appreciation, but you also in touch with the community. People want to be in touch with who they elect.
Exactly. Yes. So this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we're going to be located next door to the Coleman County Courthouse. Cosmic Sound DJ Entertainment is going to be playing music. We're going to have refreshments. We're going to have some hot dogs and hamburgers and chips and desserts. And you get to hang out and have your picture made with Melvin Haston. You can ask him any question that you want. He'll be on the mic answering questions. Do your part as a voter and come find out the information for yourself, because this is important along with every other race that's out there. Catch me and Little D this coming Thursday on the Big D Radio Show at 6:30 p.m. We'll see you next time.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Live 95.